40 minutes to get the same move with every club. I'm the only golfer with the feeling of greatness. I'm the only golfer living. It's got the master move and the feeling of greatness.
Well, another great day here at Graves Golf and on the Feeling of Greatness podcast. I'm excited to have in the house today Christian Henning, known as Chris, the master of everything here at Graves Golf, but mostly the fitness person here at Graves Golf. And, you know, when we have a team here at Graves Golf, it's amazing the talents we have in this room. And it's really about pulling out all the talents of the people that are around us. And one of your talents is obviously fitness and helping everybody in here, as we were just discussing with our team in here, eating right, staying in shape, as I just chowed down a cheeseburger in front of you. Felt bad about that. But today I wanted to have a conversation with you about getting ready, getting our game ready for the spring as we start preparing our bodies to get ready to play golf. And I got to tell you something. I haven't played any golf. The last time I hit golf balls was probably at the thing in November. I mean, I hit a few at the golf school the other day. And God, I went there to hit balls yesterday and my body felt so bad. And it always does the first day. The first time I get on the range and just put my body into motion. I mean, I was dreading it actually. I was like driving my car over going, God, this is going to hurt. And then today I went out there and hit a few and it was a little bit better. You know, today my body started feeling a little better. And it takes me about, God, I got to admit, as I get older, it's taking me now. If I hit balls later this afternoon, and not a lot, I'm not going out there and having major ball striking sessions. We're talking 50 golf balls to 100 golf balls. Probably by middle of next week, I'll start kind of back where I'm feeling good. But man, it's hard to get my body moving when I'm getting older. So I wanted to talk with you today about how do we do that? How do we get our bodies ready and back in the spring? And here's the thing, not just running straight out to the golf course. Let's go play. Cause I'll tell you what, if I'd have played yesterday, it'd have been a disaster. But how do we do that?
Yeah, it's really, really comes down to if you don't use it, you lose it. A wise man once told me that in the oak tree cart barn. I asked him for some advice and that's what he told me. And it's so true, especially as we get a little bit older, we get a little bit more stiffer. And, you know, if you're not playing golf every day, you're not moving around a whole lot. And, you know, in the wintertime, a lot of our members are up north. So it's really hard for them to get outside and do things. I know that we have some snowbirds, but overall, it's really just about getting moving again, and using your body, more than just kind of sitting around. You know, you just can't do that. You've got to stay moving, especially in the springtime when we start getting, ready. We're starting to get pumped up for golf season. So we've got, the Masters is just around the corner.
That's usually what kicks everybody off.
It's about to get crazy around here.
Yeah.
So what I like to do is just, do joint mobility, some stretching, light stretching. And then when I go to the range, I don't even open up with a driver or anything like that. It's really just kind of chipping at first. And then I'll ease in pitching wedge and things like that. But mostly it's stretching, joint mobility, things like that, walking, a lot of walking, I would recommend.
Right. It's interesting because I always do a little video work when I practice and I like to look at my swing plane and check on things. And I can be absolutely hitting it like I did yesterday, which I'm not saying it was all horrible, but it was horrible for me. And my swing still looks great, right? I mean, it still looks great, like mechanically, technically, right on. But the timing and the sequence and my mobility, it just feels like absolute crap. And it's just such a sequence thing. Like when your technique is good, the only way you can hit a bad golf shot is if your sequencing is bad. And that's the first thing that goes for me. Now, I'm not sure it was 20 years ago, but now my sequencing is gone. And I'm not saying that I got to run out there and like, okay, work on my lower body movement first. I just got to start moving. It. And then it starts coming back. And I've gotten to the point now where you're right. I don't pull out a driver. Forget it. I mean, I hit like one or two drivers at the end yesterday, but I generally just sat there and just, I said, and here's what it comes down to maybe, Chris, is that you got to set your expectations you got to put your expectations in check. like my deal yesterday was like, do not go out here and expect to pure it on the range. Do not expect to just get back into it. My goal is to start moving. Just start moving yesterday. You could do it at home too, right? You don't have to do it all at the range, but my goal yesterday was to make a few swings, get moving a little bit, get loosened up, get my body feeling a little bit normal. Went to the gym this morning, again, did some walking on the treadmill, kind of got back in it, and then hit a few balls today to get back. And I felt, I'm 70% there. I still got 30% to go, but yesterday I was 10% there. You know, it comes back fast, but God, you just got to get moving. And if you're not, I couldn't imagine trying to go out there and play well.
You know what you just said about being realistic. It's real easy to put ourselves back in October when we put the clubs down and we're striping it, we're playing well, and then to come out now and you have that same kind of mentality, it's really, you're doing yourself a disservice by doing that. So it's more, you know, having that realistic, you know, I don't know how long it takes you to get back, maybe 2-3 weeks, something like that. But just kind of setting that, you know, the expectations to the side, and it's just about getting back into kind of the groove of things.
Yeah.
You know, coming back to the golf course, going through your routines that you had. And I keep a lot of notes. So, you know, I can go back and look at my practice routines from months ago. I know exactly what I did every single time. But if I was to do that after a long layoff, that would be ridiculous, right? You know, on me, because, you know, I'm going to get worn out. I might injure myself. And then mentally, I'm going to put myself in a bad place because the results are not even going to be close to where I was at the end of last season.
Why do you think, what creates the, and I'll just kind of get my experience here. There was some pain in my body, but it wasn't like, it was just achy, you know, like, oh my God, if I turn, like, it just hurts a little bit. And that tends to go away the more that I do it. But what creates that? Like, why am I getting pain?
It could be like your joints just haven't moved in those particular positions and the synovial fluid isn't kind of flowing in there. So the more that you move the joints, that's why I was saying
lubrication.
Joint mobility is so important because, you know, if you don't move into a certain direction, your body is just going to kind of shut down in that area. So as we get older, it's like, you know, when you watch a baby walk around, and when a baby can first walk, he can squat all the way to the ground. He can get up. He's doing basically the splits, gymnastics. And then as we age, we quit moving like that. So the body just kind of tightens up. And, you know, stress has a lot to do with it too. You know, lack of use, but, you know, stress can really kind of affect you as well on that. But mostly it's just, you're not using the body the same way. I mean, how often do you move like you do when you're hitting a golf ball?
Here's what's interesting is, you know me, I measure stuff like you do, and I'm a measuring guy. And I kind of did this little experiment in the last 3 months where, cause I have the 3-4-D system, right? Where I can measure stuff. I can quantify movement, and my torso rotation will reduce by almost 10 degrees. If I haven't hit golf balls, I start losing that about 10 degrees, which is a lot. Think about that from a sequencing standpoint. It's just, the swing's just going, it's not going all the way back. And the more that I start playing more, I'll see my rotation go from 70 to 80 degrees in my torso. And it does, I don't feel different. I'm not rotating more, but I am rotating more. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm not trying to rotate more, but since my body loosens up, it has more range, and I lose range. When I lose range, I lose sequence. And that's what I find. I find, like, just, God, it just feels like shit out here. But it's because it feels a little tight. I can't get sequenced. And then it starts loosening up. And then, like you said, a week into it, I'm doing better. 2 weeks into it, fine. I'm going after it again.
You know? That even comes down to the sequencing. You know, if you're tight in a certain part of your body, it's going to affect everything that comes after.
Can't
that. It's crazy.
Well, you know, what we teach is position, you know, before sequence, before speed. And if you're not hitting the positions, you can't sequence, then you definitely can't produce speed. So I feel it. And I can't imagine some of our guys have taken 3 or 4 months off or longer that are getting back into it.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
and we've had some, you know, some guys that did the fast forward training that also have a 4D, and can't remember the gentleman's name, but he said that he was able to actually get green on the 4D after doing the 4D stretching. So
of the fast forward stretching.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And mainly all of that was, for those that don't know, very, very basic stretching, but some joint mobility as well. So those two things together are kind of unlocking the body, so to speak.
One thing that you've talked to me a lot about, and one thing that I try to do is lay on the floor and just get my body separating shoulders versus torso or pelvis and that stuff. Just get on the floor, you know, just moving around, get my body moving in those directions that it's not normally moving into, you know. Because lifting weights is pretty easy for me. I like lifting weights, but man, the stretching stuff, that hurts more than the weight stuff.
Yeah. I've got a buddy, his name is Richard, an Australian friend of mine, and he refuses to do stretching. So past 20 years I've known him, his backswing gets shorter and shorter and shorter. He's just barely taking it back. And I'm like, hey, buddy, you know, if you were to just stretch a little bit, you'd still be able to hit that ball out there. And he just refuses because he says it's so painful. I'm like, well, we're not trying to like tear you apart. It's, you can do this in a gradual, progressive manner. And each day, just a little millimeter more is so important to kind of regaining that. And maybe that's what, you know, the listener should do, is just look at it almost like your practice. So, you know, don't expect that you're going to be able to do the splits basically the first day out. It's going to be real rough and maybe you can't touch your toes, but if you stay at it 30, 60, 90 days, I guarantee you're going to be a lot closer.
Well, I think this is interesting because our guys are always after more speed, right? Who isn't? And what's interesting is if I said for our average guy, I mean, even all our guys, not just our average guy, and even me, it's not about speed. It's about hitting better positions and having better range of motion so I can sequence better. That right there will optimize my speed. That I started hitting it like a couple years ago when I started playing again. It was actually more than a couple years ago. It was during COVID. I started playing a ton of golf. I was, again, hadn't played in a long time. Again, my body was just a wreck from, I mean, I was sore every time I practiced for the first 2 months. I was just, told my wife, I was like, I've never been this in much pain from playing golf in my life because I hadn't played that much golf. I was playing every day. And I hadn't played for 13 years, right? That's a lot. That's a lot on your body. So about 2 months into it, I started hitting it a long way for me. I mean, ball starts going further. I'm like easier. And it wasn't because I was swinging harder. It wasn't because I was swinging better. It was because, well, I guess I was swinging better, but my body felt better. And I had more range. It was just all better because I'd put some reps into stretching, put some reps into range of motion. My swing wasn't longer. I wasn't doing anything to produce more speed, but I was getting a lot more zip in the club.
You're more efficient is what was going on. You were, you know, when we talk about sequencing, it's about being efficient. So if you're not hitting positions, you're not being efficient. So that's really the thing here is if the closer that we can get you to, you know, the magic positions, the more efficient you're going to become with that. And that's going to equate to club head speed.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's exactly what I felt. And then, I was hitting positions easier. My range of motion was better. My shoulders felt better. You know, I just was more stable. All those things that help you produce speed. So what do you, give me the, and I'm asking this on a personal level. Let's say you saw me hit balls yesterday and you're like, man, you're pretty tight. What would you have me do for the next week? I am going to go to the range and hit some, but I don't care. I'm not so worried about hitting it as I am. I want to get some reps in on the range, get my body back in golf shape. What would you recommend?
Yeah, I mean, we would just keep it really basic. You know, I have one called Backswing Angel, which is like the bread and butter of just improving your posture. I mean, that's the genesis of the sequencing, right? Getting into the proper posture. So what happens is we start to round over. So if we got to open the body up so that we can have a better posture. So that would be where I would start. I would also start with touching the toes. Maybe a little bit of a kneeling hip flexor using a chair, just trying to loosen this up in the front side. You know, if you were to just do those three things, I think that would take you a long ways there.
Yeah.
And there's also a lot of strengthening I don't know if our listeners do a lot of exercise, but we're front heavy. So like for myself, I can do a ton of weight on the bench press. If I was to pull, it's not going to be as much as on the front side of my body. So we got to kind of equal that out. So I would also have them, you know, do like equal parts on the their workouts. So if they're doing pressing, they're doing pulling.
Yeah. And so the listeners know that the pulling muscles are your stabilizers and most of the pushing muscles are your accelerators. So, you know, if you're not, you can have the strongest accelerators in the world and you can you can have really fast things, but if you're not able to stabilize your body, you're not gonna be able to use your accelerators. So
you can actually knock yourself off balance.
Right. I see it all the time. Yeah. So, you know, touching your toes, that's more of a hamstring, glute type exercise. So doing some of that to get that stretched out, that helps me more than anything. Cause if your back's tight. So if a guy has a tight back, let's say he's tight. Cause this is where I'm kind of speaking for me. I don't ever have back pain. I'm just tight. Like my midsection's tight. My lower back and my hips are tight. That's where I feel most of my tightness in my body. And so I just like, oh my God, I can't really separate that out. So how would you work on that?
I would do open books. And we're just trying to basically separate the top from the bottom and open up. And what's going to happen is it will lengthen your spinae erectors on the backside when you're doing these things. And you can also do it with your arms. You can do it with your legs. And we can also do scorpions. I don't know if you're familiar with those.
Yep.
So there's a lot of, we just try to separate that because what happens is it just becomes so tight. And if we can separate it, those spinae erectors will actually start to lengthen on us.
Yeah. That's where I feel it mostly. Yeah. Like it's kind of lower mid back and then into my pelvis. And it just feels so tight. That's always the one that gets me.
Yeah. Another one would be child's pose. It sounds, you know, not that difficult, but if you have a really tight lower back and you get down into child's pose and just kind of relax and exhale, you'll feel that your back kind of relax.
Is that more like, is that pose more like, fetal position type
exactly.
thing?
Okay. Yep. That's exactly what it is.
So you grab your knees type thing?
Or? You know, you can actually put your hands out in front of you and push back and try to lengthen the spine a little bit. You'll get a little bit of a stretch there, but it really kind of loosens up your hips.
Yeah.
You know, when you really get down into there.
Yeah.
We covered all this in the fast forward training.
So, yeah, I've got to get back in and do more of this because I remember about 6-8 months ago, I was in the gym a little more. I was hitting a few more golf balls, but I was just spending more time doing lots of movement type stuff. And I was out there hitting balls and like my body felt so much better, so good. Like I was like, I remember my notes used to be, well, work on this in your backswing. Now my notes were, man, my body felt better today. You know, now it's all how I feel because I can't hit a golf ball well if I don't, my body feels like crap. And then so to me, it's like, man, I got to get this, just the motion moving better. If I move better, I feel better. I feel stronger. I hit it better. And it's that progression. You
know? Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's important to set that expectation for our guys right now. Cause what is it? It's the middle of March. And you know, you got, like you said, the Masters is coming up and you've got to get, you got to schedule some time just working on your body.
Well, you know, it's interesting too. If you look at Tiger Woods, I know he hasn't had a great track record lately, but he tries to come back. And then he's, you know, they basically are carting him off of the golf course lately. And I think some of that has to do with walking. Like, I don't think he's walking enough, right, to be honest. And walking is a very good exercise to do. So, you know, our golfers, if they're not walking a lot, they're not walking the golf course, I would recommend that they start doing that.
I would
just get out and start moving and doing that.
I would dare to say that everybody rides carts now. I don't know anybody that really walks. There's a few guys out there probably walk, but man, I don't walk anymore.
And I would bet Tiger is riding in a golf cart too. He's just beat up.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the thing is if you can just start walking and start building that up a little bit each day, that's going to get you ready, I think, more than pretty much anything.
Right. And then do some rotational stuff just to get your lower back, lower body working.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What about shoulders? You know, right now I'm dealing with a little left shoulder issue. It's kind of working itself out from just doing some stretching and stuff, but shoulders tend to be the next, you got your hips, obviously your knees, but then my shoulders. And I see this a lot with our students, the shoulders end up being a real problem child.
Kind of a weak point.
Yeah. Well, it's a weak point, but it's, Yeah, it's definitely a weak point. It's an injury point. It's a weak point, and it's a mobility point as well.
Mm-hmm. And that goes back to, you know, the kind of the rounded over. So, you know, the definitely start with the open book, but there's also some, we call them doorway stretches, where you can put your shoulder up against the door and just kind of stretch that it out. Yeah.
Kind of going into that pulling sensation again.
Exactly.
Pulling it back.
Yeah. So we're tight here. We're loose back here. We're strong here. We're weak back here. So we got to strengthen back here and loosen this up.
Pulls it back.
Yeah. And you'll eventually come back into a good position. And that's what we're seeing with the fast forward guys.
Yeah.
You know, that are doing this and able to actually start hitting these positions. And the cool thing is they start playing better. They're swinging better.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying is that's my point to it, is that your swing could be great. Like, my swing's great, but when it feels like crap, doesn't perform great. And I'll make a point to how I said that. I separate me from my swing. I didn't say my swing feels great. The swing feels great. It performs well when I'm feeling good, right? I take ownership of my body feeling good, but my swing is what it is. Cause I never swing bad, but I've hit it badly. And cause the swing just doesn't feel great. I look at it on video. Looks great. Looks fine. Like, yeah, I just don't have the feel for it. And that's all a fitness thing. That's all when the muscles fire and the timing of it. And just, it's just like, oh God, just didn't feel good. Look at it. Yeah, it looks fine. But
that's probably the thing about coming back after a layoff is we're just out of sequence. Like, the mind is just, it's a little rusty. It still remembers how to do it, but maybe not as efficiently.
Yeah. And I think that's the message of this podcast is that, look, don't go try to run and think you got a big swing problem because you're hitting it bad. Get your body moving. Get back into feeling good, because it comes back so much easier if your body's moving well. And I did some quick tips today. Went out and shot some quick tips. And I did one on the swing thing. And I love the swing thing because it makes you move. It just keeps you moving. I mean, you can't not move when you're swinging the swing thing. And I remember, because I got a tournament with my brother coming up and I don't want to go out there cold and not be somewhat performing. And I just take it out in my driveway and swing it, you know, just to stay mobile and stay moving. Nothing helps me more than that thing, you know, when I just want to be moving around, because it just keeps you rotational, especially in the finish. You know, you've seen me, some of the data that you've seen in our swing and how the release and finish position are such weak points in people's swing, because that's where you're most bent forward, most side bent, most rotated. And so that's where you see some really weak spots. And if you look at the 4D data, people struggle with the finish position.
That's also where a lot of energy is being expelled, and you've got to kind of control it and kind of break it and slow it down. And, you know, strength definitely plays a role in that. But, you know, it's just when you're getting ready for the spring, it just, you know, just give yourself a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I think fast forward program was what, 5 months?
Yeah.
And it was taking these guys 60, 90 days to actually see noticeable, measurable improvements.
Yeah.
So it's something that you, if you start it this spring, just keep it going. Just don't stop.
Yeah. But that's the mode I'm in right now, is just getting my body moving again, getting back and sequencing again. Yeah, I don't even really worry about my positions that much. Obviously, dress is always something I check, but man, it's just like moving. I mean, yesterday was, like I said, crap. Today was a little better. I'll do some more reps tonight. Tomorrow will be a little bit better, and probably by the end of the week, you know,
I'll be ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just kind of getting those cobwebs out of the swing. But, you know, if we can get that sequence timing down, swing thing is great for that, to get that whole timing, and it keeps you on plane as well. You know, there's nothing, there's really nothing better than
That's true. It keeps you on plane, makes you feel lag, gets you sequencing, that's what I kind of love about it is that because I can feel the lag, that's where the sequence is coming from, is the lag. So that thing helps me feel that. Then, I kind of go back and forth with the club. I'll grab that, then grab a club, and grab that, and grab a club. Yeah, I don't know if there's a better thing that
I might be really good on the range is, you know, hit a couple shots and then go back to the swing thing.
No doubt.
I used to do a drill a long time ago. It was called the feet together drill, where I would just go like 90-90 back in the day. And swing thing is like perfect for that.
Yeah. Just get you moving. Get you rotational. Yep.
And it's hard to like overswing with that, because you know, you're going to hit all of your sequence.
Well, it makes
correctly.
You sequence it because you can't like yank on it because the chain will react. So you've got to kind of keep it all moving in rhythm. You got to sequence.
Right.
Basically.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Should have called it the sequencer and a better title for it, a better name for it instead of the thing. Yeah.
Kind of like the swing thing.
The swing thing, the sequencer.
And we make a little logo of like that movie guy. What was the thing back in the 80s? Thing,
yeah.
The swamp thing.
The swamp thing. Now we got the swing thing. That's good. So one of the things that I wanted to mention with you and you know, we launched the Single Plane 30, and maybe people listening to this or have been through the Single Plane 30. That's our 30-day progressive training course that basically every single day gives you an assignment of how to train the single plane swing in the perfect exact order. And we're loving the Single Plane 30. And the people have been through, we had what, a couple, 300-400 people have been through it now.
400.
400. And we're just getting raving reviews on the progressive type training in the correct order. But what we're going to add to Single Plane 30, what we had talked about, is we're going to add some of the flexibility fitness element to it.
Right. Yeah. We had kind of discussed maybe doing positions and taking them actually through the swing position by position. You know, some basic stretching, some joint mobility, and maybe a little bit of strength training as well on that. But it would be progressive like that and take them over the course of the, you know, the single plane.
I'll tell you what we should do. And this is, we're brainstorming here right on the podcast, but we always, whenever we get, you and I get together, we always do this. What we should do is, because it starts, the program starts at the beginning of every month, sometime there's a lag period from the time the person registers to the time they start. So it might be 3 weeks, 2 weeks, whatever. We should give them something in those 2 weeks
just
before they start
prep.
The program. Yeah, like a prep.
Like a preparation week. Yeah, we could definitely do that.
Yeah, get them ready for Single Plane 30. Matter of fact, we should have that for our golf schools as well. And I think some guys do that. And that's what Fast Forward is really all about, was getting people ready for the season. A lot of guys went through Fast Forward. Now they're coming to our golf schools, which is great. They're one step ahead of it.
I think that would be great for the golf schools, because I can't think of anything worse than going to the school and not being able to, you know, at least
knocking the rust off at the school. Then you're like, it's even harder.
It's so much more challenging. Yeah. So if you could just pop in there and you're ready to go, that would
at least spend a week. At least spend a week kind of prepping yourself. That'd be really good.
That would be fantastic.
So we'll have to come up with that, like at least a week. Let's just call it 1 week, 7 days of get started by, you know, working on this, getting mobile.
Yeah, definitely.
Getting moving. That'd be a good idea. Well, I'll tell you what, it's interesting, because when we were developing the 4D, one of the most difficult things to do was to do it without a club. Because a club gives you kind of this reference point, this spatial reference, and people go, I can move a club. When you said, okay, just put your arms across your shoulders and now move into your golf swing without a club, it got harder because they didn't have a reference point and their arms were like out of the equation. Now it's all body movement, you know? Right. Yeah. And so people, you know, balance was changing. They couldn't quite, you know.
It's almost like being blindfolded and asked to balance on one foot.
Exactly.
It's like
they didn't have all the awareness wasn't there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be great. Yeah, I definitely think we can build something like that that would be easy, low impact, and get them ready for the school so that they could actually benefit from it. Another benefit of that would be it wouldn't be worn out as much.
Exactly.
You know, some of these guys, I would assume if they've just been sitting on the couch and they show up, you know, they're probably pretty worn out at the end of a 3-5 day school.
That reminds me of this, and you can give us some insight on this, hydration. Because I've seen this a lot at our schools, because what happens is, and you'll start seeing it now, March and April, because it's getting warmer in Orlando. And then obviously it'll be really, really warm here when we open up our academy here. But our guys show up from a northern state, let's say, and then they come down here in the humidity and the heat. And man, it's like drink water, drink, stay hydrated. Because if you get ahead of that game, you can handle the heat. But the guys who can't handle the heat have got behind in their hydration.
Exactly. You have to get ahead of the game. And also you need to use electrolytes, branched chain amino acids, stuff like that. Mix that in your water. If you're just drinking regular water, you know, you're still losing your electrolytes. You're not replenishing those. So it's very important to, you know,
what product, any products you recommend? Something you can go buy at GNC or maybe give me an electrolyte, cause I need to do that.
Gatorade is probably like just the tried and true one that I of love. There's some, you know, I use BCAAs. I don't even recall the brand. I think it's called Builder, something like that. Maybe that's a product we should come out with.
Well, so interestingly enough, when I was playing on the tour years ago, I was kind of endorsed by Shackley. Remember Shackley?
I products? Do. Yeah.
And they,
had '90s.
And I really got involved with them because they had this electrolyte product. And I've never felt better playing golf. They had a really good product. I don't know if they still make it or whatever, but they had this one product. You'd mix it with water and it's kind of like, I think it's like orange flavor. But I mean, I was like, wow, this stuff's fantastic. I feel so good when I'm out there on the course. I'm not getting dehydrated. I'm not getting the headaches. I'm not feeling bad. It wasn't so much on the course that I'd feel bad. It'd be when I left the course. Like I would play my round, probably was just involved with the round. And then I would leave an hour after the round and be like, I'm exhausted, had a headache. You know, and so I started feeling so much better, and I could then get a little practice routine in and feel better for the next day. I didn't kill myself there. And there's probably a lot of tournaments I lost because I just basically beat myself up so bad I didn't have the hydration, you know?
Yeah, I think the general rule was like a little bottle of electrolyte, like Gatorade, every other hole.
Yeah,
like
a lot.
When you're in the heat. You know, I'm talking like Phoenix heat. And I don't know. Whenever I play golf in Phoenix, I don't call it sweating. I call it salting because literally it's not dirt. It's
Well, you don't see the perspiration. Like I'll be there and I'll be dehydrated as crap and I won't sweat a bit because it all evaporates, you know,
exactly.
It just dries you out.
Yeah.
Every time
it's
in Phoenix.
Super important to bring those back into the body because we're putting them out. Regular water on its own just won't do it.
Yeah. Phoenix is tough because of the dry climate. I get nosebleeds out there. I get it all out there, you know, because we go from here, super humid to Orlando to Phoenix. I'm going back and forth. I go from super humid.
It's a different animal altogether.
It takes me days to adjust. And usually I leave by the time I've adjusted. So
yeah,
hydration's massive.
Yeah. And if you're just rolling in for a school, it's so important to be ready. Number one, like the preparation that we're talking about, and we'll create something for them on that so they can come into a school and be ready to go. But also just get ahead of the game. Like when you first get up in the morning, you know, if you can avoid the coffee and let's just start getting that Gatorade, in because even at this time of year, it's pretty warm in Orlando and Phoenix.
Yeah. It gets real warm into March now. And then into April, it'll heat up. It'll be 80, 85, 90 degrees now. Yep. Down there. And that's when we start seeing, and guys will start going, man. And what happens is, if you're not familiar with our golf schools, you'll come out to a school and we only spend, let's say it's 3 hours a day actually on the range tee deck, or there's some short game stuff. And you're thinking, oh, I'm just doing short game, not really getting that hot, but you are. And then by the time we do the range session in the afternoon, we see the guys in the shade sitting down going, man, I'm exhausted because they haven't kept up all day with the hydration. And the morning's always cooler than the afternoon. In the afternoon, they're like, oh, I'm beat. And it's like, okay, these guys aren't that worn out. They're just dehydrated.
You know? Exactly. Yeah. And you know, that's a big thing. You see these football teams, they made us take a break every 15 minutes. Like it was Gatorade, water, whatever you wanted, like every 15 minutes. No
matter we should run around with water bottles and just squirt it in our students' mouths as they're on the team. Like that's, just have like a little Gatorade person run around. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think just getting ready for the season is just start walking, maybe buy a swing thing or two, hint, hint.
Yeah.
And, you know, just start out slowly. Don't have any mental, you know, expectations. Take the ego out of it.
Yeah.
You know, first, I would say 3 weeks. For me, it'd take me a while to get back going.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're, I think that's great advice. Just no expectations. Your goal is to get moving again. The goal is to get the body rotational again. It'll start coming easier and easier every single day. Just would you do it every day or would you take, like a day off in between, or how would you do that
on the stretching?
Well, let's say for me, for example, like I'm not in horrible shape, but and I'll do a little motion every day, but let's say our average guy, like you could, let's say in 3 weeks, he wants to be kind of golf ready in 3 weeks. Tell me what you'd have him do kind of on a daily basis.
Well, you know, obviously let's just assume he's already stretching. He's doing his joint mobility. Maybe he's working out a little bit, but definitely walking, add that in. I know a lot of guys say they walk, but they really don't walk as much as they think they do. So I would definitely be walking. I would be hitting the range like every other day. Yeah. Just start out with you know, the short sticks, basically work my way up to that. Maybe the second week, like mid irons, third week might
hit some longer ones.
Yeah. And then eventually get into the driver.
You have to be patient.
Yeah. 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 So yeah. I would just take it easy and kind of ease back into it. And I think what's going to happen is you most importantly, you're going to get back your touch and feel around the green, mm-hmm. which is so important.
Yep.
And once you do that, then you can kind of start moving it out and, you know, cause it's pretty much the same thing, you know, pitch shot, mid irons.
Yep.
You know, it's the same kind of setup.
Same motion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of what I do too. You know, it's funny. Like today I had some wedges yesterday. I didn't dare hit a driver. Like I was like, no, I'm not going to do this. Not that I would have probably hit them bad, but I'm like, it's not going to feel right. So I hit some wedges, went over to the range, swung the swing thing a little bit, hit some short irons, got up to about a 6 iron, hit a few of those. Yeah, it's okay. And then, but then I started just working on I just started making 5 backswing reps for every ball I'd hit on my backswing. Cause my back was tight. I just kept making 5 reps and I'd hit 5 reps. So my goal kit, let's get loose. Let's just get movement. And today, and it was 50% better today. Right. So it just takes motion, man. You just got to keep moving. Body starts figuring it out. You start adjusting and adapting. And
one thing that they might do too, is start tracking their practice, their warmups and all these things and just start taking notes.
Yeah.
You know, let's have a reference point. Where did we start? Where are we at?
Right.
And how does that equate to our game eventually when we do, you know, in April, we start teeing it up.
Yeah. Yeah. They will see a massive progression improvement if they will just spend the time to get loose, get moving. I know that. And just for me, I'll be hitting the ball 20, 30 yards further 2 months from now, but I have to keep moving. If I stop now, I won't. So if I keep hitting balls and just keep staying and I'm not swinging harder at it, I'm just better sequence, better contact. Body feels better. Probably the backswing getting a little longer because I'm more flexible. I will start hitting it 20, 30 yards further.
You think that's about confidence?
Some, because it's always about, like I can't swing aggressively at the golf ball right now if I don't feel good. And if I'm not stable, I can't swing fast. So you'd see it on video and go, looks fine, but it doesn't feel fine. Like it doesn't feel like I'm, and there's just like, because I haven't kept up with it and I've been lazy in the last few months, haven't hit too many balls. So yeah, it's definitely confidence. But it's mostly that I just, my body feels stronger so I can be more confident. That's what it is. Because I'm confident as heck in my golf swing. Doesn't mean I feel good about it. Right. But what I know better is not to blame it on my swing. It's not to go, man, my swing's messed up. I don't even go there. I just go into.
I think that right there is the key to this.
Yeah.
You know, so if you have a good swing, you know, and you hit a couple of bad shots, don't throw the baby out.
I don't go there. I just go, man, I just got to keep moving and it'll all come back. Just keep moving. And so it does. It always does. But you know, I might check my mechanics, but it's not changing. You know, it's not changing. What does change though, because it is changing, is the sequence. Like we talked about earlier, you couldn't see it. You can't see it on video. It's going too fast. So maybe you could measure it. It's measurable on 3D, but it's not measurable with the naked eye. So you'd be like, the swing looks pretty good, but it's just, my body's like, I can't put it in the right order.
It's almost like the brain just becomes so good at fine tuning that sequence to become more efficient.
Yeah. 100%. And so I don't try to fight it. I just keep hitting positions, keep moving, do what you're saying. Just stay mobile, you know, get some reps in, do some rotation. And it all starts just coming back slowly. It comes back more slowly now than it did 10 years ago. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's kind of the thing, but
well, this is kind of like when you used to go and lift weights. I bet when you were 20 years old, you didn't even warm up.
Yeah, not really.
And now I warm up for like 15 minutes.
You warm up for 30 and lift for 10. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
I literally warm up for 15 minutes now or I'm shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, thanks. Thanks for joining us. The guys will look forward to all of your developments on the programs. Keep an eye out for all the workouts that are involved in every program. We're probably not going to ever have a program launch now that won't have some elements of this in it, which I think is great. One thing I want to task you with, though, when we talked about this, is the testing stuff we need to be doing, right? Testing people's, because you said a minute ago, well, we could track people's progress. Well, we got to have a starting point. So we need to do a test. Where are you now? and then the end point, like here's how much you've gained or whatever.
So, yeah, we've got, you know, the TPI is really good and they just updated everything last month. And so there's a lot of tests that we can do in there. So probably what we'll do is focus on the, what I think are the most important tests on that.
Yeah.
And we'll do it just like we did in Fast Forward, where you have a before and an after.
Yeah.
Or a midpoint. And these are just kind of checkpoints. So where did we start and where are we at? You know, and what is, how far can we go basically? Right. When we'll know all these things and we can give them to them and they'll easily be able to do these on their own.
Right. That's great. Well, thanks for joining me today. This is great information. I'm going to go do some stretching. I'm going to go hit some balls this afternoon because I need to get back in shape. So I'm going to take your advice this afternoon.
Yeah. Well, have fun.
Thanks. Appreciate it.